Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Season 6, Episodes 8 and 9 of Downton Abbey.
We're
oh, shit. No, we're not. 7 and 8. Oh, fuck.
7 and 8. Yes, it's 7 and 8. And just in
case
you
were
wondering...
I had my notes on 8. I'm sorry, I got confused for a second.
That's okay. So just in case you were wondering... We have certain caveats and disclaimers and things like that, and they include things like there will be cursing, because there's already been cursing. Thanks, Natalie.
Yeah, no problem.
And that we will also, there's not a lot to spoil, but we might spoil what's left. It's hard to say. And we will be drinking things. What are you having to drink?
I'm having decaf Earl Grey.
Oh, fun. Not even buzzing on caffeine.
It's what we had. Dad gave me a lot of decaf Earl Grey when I left to go back to college, so I just had one.
Okay. Well, I went with something I think is totally appropriate for this two-episode segment, which is a Bloody Mary. And it was quite complicated to make, so I'm going to give you the... Downton Abbey cocktail book Bloody Mary mix recipe because there are a zillion out there and I kind of expect this to not be very good, but it's great. And it may be just because I haven't had Bloody Mary in a long time, but it is way better than I remember. So it has 2 fluid ounces of vodka, 4 ounces of tomato juice, 1/2 fluid ounce of lime juice, black pepper, it says 1/4 bar spoon. I don't know what that is, so I just make it up. Black pepper, same amount of cumin, a pinch of salt, 2 dashes Worcestershire sauce. I probably put more in there. 2 dashes of hot sauce. I definitely put more in there. And it calls for like garnish and stuff, but I don't ever have garnish. So that's what I'm having. And it is, again, I expect it to be blander. It is actually quite tasty, and I think it's totally appropriate for these episodes. So what are our sections?
For episode 7, our sections are Brooklands, Mary, Edith, Violet, Mrs. Patmore, Daisy, and Molesley.
Wow. Okay. Yep. Do you think Daisy or Molesley would be an easy place to start?
Sure. Well, actually, Mrs. Patmore's pretty quick. Mrs. Patmore is... she's basically her Airbnb's ready and she's having her first two like a couple are coming in and being her first customers and she's very excited and things yeah. seem to go well and that's great. We'll find out more about that next episode, but that's basically all that Mrs. Patmore's doing in this episode.
Right, there's like some discussion between Hughes Corson and Mrs. Patmore about whether it's a good idea and how it's gonna go and blah blah blah, but the reality is there's not much to it.
And also, I feel like kind of not really that bad for failing to mention this because it really has nothing to do with anything. But Baxter, during like the past couple of episodes, I think we failed to mention in one of our episodes that after like she didn't have to go to trial and all that, be a witness at the trial, Coyle wrote to her and asked her to meet him in jail and all that stuff. And she has been... going back and forth about whether or not she actually wants to. She doesn't like want to like get back into like his web of whatever, but she just is, she doesn't know whether or not like she's already hyped herself up to see him, maybe give that a chance and like have that final confrontation she was thinking about. And she's still debating on whether or not she wants to do that. Molesley's just like, don't. And she's just like, but maybe. And I'm like, Baxter, please stop. I don't care. And this is why we failed to mention it, because it doesn't really matter at all.
Yeah, it really just is not super meaningful in the scheme of things. So, you know, whatever. What else is there?
I guess do Daisy and Molesley next. They're going to have their exams and all that, but that's next episode. So it's just like prepping for exams and they're feeling nervous and, oh wait, no, they're doing exams this episode. Sorry. No. Yeah. We watched like the last 3 episodes. And so they're all conflating in my head, but
right.
Yeah, they sit down and do their, exams. Molesley's just a general knowledge test and Daisy is sitting for like 6 papers. And this is also when Andy reveals he can't read to everybody. And Mr. Dawes, who's the schoolmaster, is like, "Hey, I can teach you how to read." And Thomas is like, "Well, I can help too." And then he's like, "No, Thomas, you don't, no, you're not gonna help."
Well, and in fact, and they handle it so diplomatically. I mean, rather than just say, "No, Thomas, you're out," they do this kind of passive aggressive, "Oh, it would be complicated for him to have more than one teacher."
Well, no, the thing is, I understand that, and Mr. Dawes isn't trying to be a bit, well, sorry, a dick to to Thomas about it, because, well, first of all, he barely knows Thomas at all, if at all, so it kind of makes sense why he's just like, well, two teachers we might use different methods, so it might confuse him, and so that's understandable. But with Thomas feeling the way he does at work, and with everybody around him kind of icing him out, not feeling very welcome. And that was the only in he had with Andy to make him more of a friend and all that stuff. He's just feeling very lonely and down, and nobody seems to want him there. So that plays into stuff that happens later. So that's basically it for Daisy and Molesley. Well, Molesley gets his, I think, his results, and he passed, and they want him to come in and teach a couple classes at the school whenever he has time during the day. So that's Molesley. So I guess we'll talk about Violet real quick. Violet's still upset about how she was treated during the hospital stuff. And although I don't agree that she should have been like acting the way she did during the fact, the end result of like Cora keeping it from her and all that, it's valid for her to feel upset about that part of it. Not necessarily by the result itself, but by the way that other people handled it around her and felt like they had to walk on eggshells around her and all that stuff and not tell her, which is un it's understandable on both sides, but I agree that Violet is it's valid that she's upset. So she's going to go to the south of France to cool down or warm up or whatever she's going to do there for like a
She's
month.
very self-aware about it, though. I like that she is just like, "No, I don't need to be getting in a fight with my son. I just need to be somewhere else so I can get it out of my system."
Yeah. And so she's like, all right, well, I'm going to the south of France, but first I'm going to do Isabel a solid because me and Isabel are still friends. And she's going to visit Miss Crookshank and try to figure out what she wants, what she's trying to get out of Isabel and all that stuff by rekindling the relationship with Lord Merton. And so she goes over there, and Violet gets the idea that, oh, yeah, well, they don't want to care for Lord Merton in his old age. And so they kind of want a nurse for him. And so they just don't want to be like saddled with him, but they do want the house. So they're just
Yeah,
trying to
like,
like give him the
right.
companion in
I
his old age so they
love
don't have to deal
like some of the lines in here. This is the Dowager Countess is back in her stride kind of
I
thing.
think I know which line you're talking about. It's really good.
Yeah, there are a whole bunch of them,
Oh,
and
did you not
she's
write
like,
one down? I have one.
"Go ahead. I'm sure I
She
did, but
says, I'd feel sorry for Larry if I didn't dislike him so much.
yeah, no, I absolutely adore that one. But yeah, there were several. I probably wrote others down, but there were so many in this exchange, and she completely shuts Miss Crookshanks down, and she's like, "Thank you for confirming what I knew. No, you're evil and bad."
Yeah, and
Basically.
she goes and tells Isabel about it, and Isabel's like, well, that sucks, but I'm not going to deal with that. And I'm just like, okay. But which makes it so confusing about why, like, Isabel's feelings for Lord Merton are so confusing to me at this point. The only because, like, it wouldn't be confusing if this plot line happened very early in this season and was just like a really quick whatever. But since it happened after she refused him sadly at the end of season five, now she's just at the beginning of season six, she was like, oh, I don't want to like form an attachment with you at all. Like she was being kind of cold to him. And now she's just like, now they're trying to force them back together and she still feels a bit cold. But like later on, it's so confusing about how she feels about him. And
Well,
I'm just
I think some
confused.
of that reflects the fact that she's confused, but I think some of it is also they recognize this is such a sideline plot that they aren't doing like amazing writing for it, other than for Violet, who is getting amazing
Valid. So I'm saying valid a lot. I'm sorry.
writing.
Anyway,
It's okay.
my mind's just kind of on like cruise control right now. Anyway, So that's, well, also Violet Le so Violet leaves for the south of France, and then she has Sprat bring Robert a little puppy that he names Teo.
It's
Yeah, it's an adorable
so
puppy.
cute, and they name her Teo because I thought I don't know if it was Mary or
It was
Edith that
Edith.
says Edith says, "Oh, I thought all of ours had Egyptian names," and he's like, "This is the wife of Amenhotep or whatever it is. How would you not know your Egyptian history?
Don't you know anything?
Don't you know anything?" And then they're kind of like, "Well, not really housebroken." And he's like, "We're going upstairs to be on the carpet."
Yeah, he doesn't say that word for word, but yes, essentially.
Yes.
And it's cute. So I guess let's really quickly talk about Edith, like the Edith that is kind of divorced from Brooklyn's. So Edith is so she's doing her thing, and she's going up to
With the
London, Brooklyn's, and she steps into like her office, and she's talking to Miss Edmonds, her new editor. And Miss Edmonds has gotten this like letter or whatever with somebody trying to kind of audition themselves to have a column in the magazine. It's named Miss Cassandra Dr Jones, who has like this advice column of like how to keep your husband happy, how to dress for fall, and how to whatever. And apparently it's very funny. The columns are really entertaining. And so Miss
Well
Edmonds
written.
wants to look further and see, but she's kind of anonymous, Miss Cassandra Jones is. And Miss Edmonds is kind of suspicious of like the fact that she hasn't like actually physically come in and all that stuff. So she's thinking that it's a pen name and all that stuff. So she's curious and she wants to know more. We'll learn more about that next episode.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we will. So yeah, but there right so there are things with Edith that are attached to the Brooklyn stuff too, so we probably need to leave some of that out. Is there stuff you want to talk about other than Brooklyn's at this point? You said Mary was a
I had
subplot.
Mary, but I don't think.
I don't think
Well,
that's
okay,
divorced.
really quickly with Mary, she's still confused on whether or not Henry is the right one for her. She's asking advice, and she asks Anna, and Anna's like, I don't know if your lives kind of fit together or something or other. And so Mary's like, you're right. I know. Yeah, but I'm still going to go to Brooklyn's. And so that's basically kind of it. She's still debating on whether or not she wants. She should take this like courtship seriously. And
Well, there are a
so
couple of things about her going to Brooklyn's. Like, she wants to just get past this fear, but she also is trying to test out how does she feel about Henry too. So, I mean, I think that there's a lot of conflict internally for Mary, and she's also like still being weird about Marigold and being weird about Edith, and just that just gets progressively worse.
Anyway, so let's just get to Brooklyn. So the whole family plus Bertie, who's going to be in town, are all going to Brooklyn's, and so they're really making it swanky. They have a whole like food setup. They have drinks and all that stuff. And Mary sees, I swear to God, if I say Tony,
Henry,
I
Henry,
understand that mom, but my
Henry.
brain says Tony every time.
No.
But Henry comes up to her, and
I
they
can I make this
flirt.
extra confusing for you? The actor's name is Matthew.
Oh, God damn it. Okay. Anyway. Oh, yeah. Matthew Good. Okay. So Henry is comes up to Mary, and Mary, they're like exchanging words, and she's still like a little bit anxious. You can tell she's just kind of like on edge the entire time. And so he gives her a kiss before for like luck and all that stuff.
No, even before that. So, like, they all go up there. They're going to stay at Rosamond's and then go to Brooklyn's. And he
Oh,
shows up at
yeah.
Rosamond's. While they're still at dinner, he's got his black tie on. And he comes in. He's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you'd be done with dinner by now." And everyone sees, like, he just adores her. And she's like, "That's kind of obvious. You're pushing in here." And he's like, "I want you to find me irresistible. I know that there are a whole lot of people saying that I'm wrong for you. I want you to be overwhelmed by how much I love you,"
Yeah,
basically.
it's really cute.
It is adorable, and he's so cute.
Yeah. So yeah, he gives her a kiss before the race, kind of for luck and all that stuff. And so the race happens. Mary's still on edge the entire time, and but
Well,
everybody else is kind of
this race is
exhilarated.
actually. It's actually pretty exciting. I'm going to jump in here. So the race is actually pretty exciting in that we know that there's a lot of rivalry between Charlie Rogers and Henry. And they're kind of getting one-upmanship even within the race itself. Like at some point Henry's ahead, at some point Charlie's ahead. And as they're going into this final lap, Henry is ahead and Charlie tries to pass him. And that's happening kind of right before the grandstand where all the Downton people are. And Mary's so anxious. She keeps talking to Branson, and Branson has gone into the pits. He's worked with Henry. He knows all the guys. He's loving it. He just, the life is just great for him. And he's like, oh, it's almost done. They'll be fine. It'll be great. Whatever. And so they're going to this last lap. They pass the grandstands, and shortly after they pass the grandstands, you hear a crash.
Yeah, Mary turns around and she's like, oh, I'm so overwhelmed. I really don't like this. And then you hear a crash, and then she immediately thinks, oh my God, it's Henry, because that's her luck. And so she runs down, and like people are following, like Tom and Bertie go running, Edith and Mary
No.
follow. But you see, really quickly, you see what the audience sees is Henry going and like yelling for Charlie. So it's
Yeah.
Charlie Rogers who crashed, and he's like trying to get him out of the like fiery wreckage of the car, and Tom and Bertie kind of push him back into the woods or whatever.
Well,
And
they drag him away from the car, basically. He's trying to get
it's on
into the,
fire.
yeah. And so they have to drag him away from it. And Mary's at a distance, but when Bertie comes back, he tells them that it was Charlie. And she just everybody's so devastated. But she's, you can see that like she's just really stunned and unable to process what's going on. And right afterwards, Henry is kind of crouched down, having a smoke and crying. And he's in tears, she's in tears. And he's like, look, we need to talk. And she's like, no, we can't do this right now. And we're going to go back and have dinner. And he's like, I need to be with Charlie's family. I don't think I really appreciate how much, he was like my closest friend and like my brother and kind of thing.
He feels
And he's,
responsible for pushing him to like do this
pass
kind of stuff
yeah go
and yeah,
faster right.
push him into racing, even though they both enjoyed it. It's not his fault, but he
Yeah,
feels like it is.
no, and Mary points out like if this had been the other way around he'd be
He'd be
feeling the
saying the
same
same thing.
way, but the truth is that you made each other better kind of thing. I mean, and she says all the right stuff. But you can tell that she's kind of wrought up, and she's like, we can't have like a real discussion now. And
About
so
our relationship anyway.
about our relationship.
So, and so after dinner at Rosamond's, where barely anybody like talks, and
Or
Robert
eat,
snaps at
really.
Rosamond because Rosamond's just kind of like flippant about it. She's not really understanding that these people, it really matters to these people, like that he died. And so
I think
everybody
she's trying
kind of
to lighten
leaves.
the mood and failing.
Yeah, failing miserably. And
Yes.
so, well, before we get to Mary's scene, let's really quickly talk about Edith. So Edith and Bertie are just kind of sitting on the couch. It's such a cute like setup for them. Like
Oh,
he has his
yeah.
arm around her, she has her shoes off, and they're like cuddle up on the couch. It's
She's
adorable.
got this gorgeous gold dress on. I swear, like the
The
clothes this
costume's
season,
really stepped it up in the sixth
amazing.
season, I'm telling you.
Amazing,
And
yes.
so they're just kind of talking, and then he's like, hey, how about you marry me? And she's like, what?
Yeah.
And she asked, hey, well, can I bring Marigold? And he's like, your family's ward? And she's
Word,
like,
and
well, I'm
she's like,
closer to her than any of the other people there, so can we bring her?
yeah.
And he's like, sure, okay, fine. Perfect opportunity to tell him, but
Yeah,
no, that's
but she
it's
doesn't.
Edith. She lies. And so
Yeah.
she, which I some of the lines later on about her honesty are ridiculous to me, but either way, she doesn't tell him, but she like tells him that she needs to think, but she it's obvious like she's in love with him, and so the answer
Yeah.
would be yes, unless except for the marigold thing, which you
Right.
could have resolved right then and there by telling him, but no.
No, it's so Aggravating, honestly. But they are just very lovely together. It is a beautiful, beautiful, little love nesty kind of thing. And Bertie says, "Look, you can take your time, you can think about it, but I'm not going to marry anyone else." So there we go.
Yeah. Okay.
And they kiss, and it's
So,
sweet.
Mary, Henry calls and Tom is like, you need to answer. And she doesn't want to talk to him because she knows what she's thinking and she doesn't want to make his night any worse than it possibly could be. But no, Tom's like, you need to talk to him. And she's like, okay, I know what he's going to talk about. He wants to talk about us and I don't want to answer,
I
but
can't do
fine.
it. I can't do it.
So she answers the phone and he's basically like, I need to, like, the only way I might go to sleep tonight is if I know where we are and where we're going. And she
Yeah.
says, I don't think we're right for each other. I
I
can't really
can't
do
do
this.
this.
Yeah, I can't do this. I'm really sorry, but
Well, and he
I
even
wish all the
like
best for
starts
you.
she even he's like acting like he might give up racing, and she's like, I can't ask you to do that. I won't make you do that. And it's kind of something she's mentioned before, is like, yeah, I don't want you to give up racing. I don't want you to give
And I
up racing.
appreciate that she's not trying to control his life by being like, well, if we are together, you can't race. She's
Right.
understanding how much it means to him and she's respecting that and being like, I don't think I would be able to sleep at night if you were still racing. And this co possibly, especially after today, this could happen. It's a reminder that this could happen and I don't want to deal with that again. But she essentially just says, I don't want you to give up your dream. I just don't think our lives fit together. I'm really sorry. Good night. And she hangs up on him. And looking at Henry's face that entire time kills
Oh,
me.
he
I
is
almost
beautiful.
started crying,
Oh, I
especially in
cried
this
a
next.
bunch in this episode.
Oh,
Who are we fooling?
in this next section. Oh my God, when Tom comes in. Oh yeah, Tom comes in and he has overheard Mary's half of the conversation. And she has her back to him, and he's just like, "You didn't have to do that tonight." And she's just, but obviously, like she's put on the spot, like she had to answer at that point because, I mean, what are you going to tell him? You won't be
Right.
able to sleep tonight. Sorry, like I don't, you can't do that. He had an awful day, and she just made it worse, and she already feels like shit. So she turns around, and you see that she's about to cry, and she is like, you know what the awful thing is? When I heard that it was Charlie Rogers who crashed, I was glad. I was glad that it wasn't Henry. And she feels so guilty about that. And she says she just can't be another crash widow again. She can't go through that pain again because it's
Right.
just a reminder of like how fragile life can be and how young these things can take you. And if you put your life at risk like that for racing, it's way more likely that this could happen again. With Matthew, it was just a very unfortunate accident. But for Henry, it could just happen in his line of work. And she
Right.
can't
It's
put
an
herself through that
everyday.
every single race. And she can't ask him to give up his dream. So she just feels like she has to walk away.
Right. And so,
It's
Tom.
devastating.
Yeah, and Tom's just like, this is such a mistake, because you love him, you don't want to admit it, but you do. And he's very articulate, and he has been throughout. He's been the voice of reason in their relationship, kind of in multiple respects. And I feel like he tries to bring her back, and he's just like, I can't respect you for this, basically.
The thing is, he's not in Mary's position. Obviously, yes, his wife also died of a freak accident, but that had to do with like labor and medical stuff. Sybil's issues, that accident, that horrible like situation was medical, and it wasn't just a freak accident of wrong place, wrong time. And so he doesn't understand, like he understands like what it's like to lose a spouse, obviously. But he hasn't really treated. Let's be honest, he hasn't really tried to get himself back out there except for Bunting. So he doesn't know how it feels to like make himself vulnerable. And what if Bunting had eclampsia? Like, how would he feel? So I don't really think that Tom is the like baseline for like knowing how Mary feels in this moment, even though, yes, he's lost his spouse too at a very young age. But Mary, when his life is constantly being put in danger just for his job and his passion, in the same way that it took the life of her first husband, who she loved,
Yeah.
he doesn't know what that's like. And also, he loves cars, and of course, so he loves Henry, and so does Mary. It's so clear that she loves him. However, she just can't put her make herself that vulnerable again, with that high risk of it just happening again. Like, she doesn't
Right.
want that to happen again, and she doesn't want to make him stop, like, putting himself into that position, because it's his passion, it's his dream, he enjoys doing it, and she doesn't want to ruin his life by, like, making him miserable by taking away that dream and that passion. And so, I mean, there are a lot of factors, and things kind of explode in the next episode in ways that shouldn't. I feel it shouldn't. I think this episode got it right with how they did it, because you see both sides of, like, oh, we want them to be together. They are really good for each other. They're so cute. I love them, but I understand why Mary is hesitant to, like, let that happen again, and
Right.
why she doesn't want to be put in that position, because she was just reminded of everything and brought everything back. And it's odd that not everybody's, like, looking in and checking on how she's doing in this situation, because they all know, like, how she feels about Henry for the most part, and
I,
they.
they do and they don't. So I think, obviously Tom is more familiar with it because he knows Henry and he's spent time with him and he knows Henry's in love with him, with her in a way. Like other people are like, oh, Henry's in love with her. Like in Robert or Cora's eyes, it's almost, and I think more Robert's, like, I'm looking at it as a dispassionate outsider. Oh, this is another Tony Gilliam, or oh, it's another Charles Blake. Oh, it's another, of course he's in love with her, aren't they all? Kind of thing. I don't think they recognize Mary's side of it. And I think on some level Edith does, but Edith hates her so much she doesn't care. You know what I
Well,
mean? Like,
she's giving her the same that she's given.
right,
So that's
exactly.
just
No,
it.
I'm not faulting Edith in that. I feel like Edith knows that part of the reason that Mary is being ugly and snotty and more uppity than she ever has, or has been in years, is because she's really emotionally involved with him and it scares her. And I think that, like you said, is going to be more pronounced in the next episode.
Yeah. So before we move on, I realized that I neglected the Hughes and Carson side plot.
Oh
Mrs.
God,
Hughes
because it's
is,
stupid.
well, I prefer it to what's been happening, and it finally resolves what's been happening, so I'm fine with it. Hughes goes to Mrs. Patmore and is still complaining about how Carson's treating her cooking and her just general wifiness, and so if that's
I'm
even
a
a
pretty
word.
terrible at the wifiness too.
Let's not.
I gotta
So she just they kind of cook up a plan where cook up a plan
Oh.
so where she's going to pretend that she's hurt her wrist, and so Carson has to do the entire dinner and like all of the courses and all of the cooking and cleaning up the next day because she can't like move her wrist and all that stuff. And
This
he
is such
realizes,
passive aggressive shit, I gotta say.
I don't blame her though.
I don't
So
blame her. I do in a way. I think she should just come out and say, I can't do this, as opposed to this, like, oh, well, I'm glad you were able to do some of it. I'm glad you're a part of it. I mean, that kind of mealy-mouthed, I'm sticking it to you, but you're not getting it. She should know that he's not going to pick up what she's laying down. Because it took him how many years to get around to, like, actually proposing marriage. I think this is a situation where I'm a little upset with Mrs. Hughes having to go feeling like this is her only alternative rather than just saying, I can't do it. And maybe she just
And
doesn't
it's
want to
what
admit she
happens.
can't do it, but that's kind of pathetic and sad.
It is. So anyway, that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, so what were your best parts?
My best parts are Mrs. Hughes, because I appreciate the petty bullshit. And I understand where you're coming from of like, again, it's something they've done with Mrs. Hughes, especially in this season. It's kind of like what they did with Anna, where they just kind of switched up her personality so that she's more meek and less direct. And it really pisses me off. Whereas they put all the directness into Daisy and making it awful. So I think they need to spread the love a bit and make it less awful. And so but I do like that Mrs. Hughes finally, like, this I'm just glad this plot line is over.
Yes.
I love Henry in this episode. Also, the acting in general in this episode is insanely good. Henry in particular is amazing in this episode. Edith and Bertie, I love that they are in love. I love that Bertie is proposing. I hate that Edith isn't, being honest. But I'm glad that Bertie's even open to, like, having this small child that he doesn't know why she wants the child to be part of the marriage package, but sure. Moseley, I'm happy for Moseley for passing his test. Good for him. And the puppy's really cute.
Yeah. My number one best part was the puppy. And I think it's partly because we've had a whole lot of drama, 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 and just something human and whatever is or humanizing, especially for Robert, is really good. I love Bertie and Edith in this. I think they are just adorable. I love Henry and Henry by himself in this relationship. I mean, I think
Oh, I
Mary.
didn't put Mary.
Right, Mary has, yeah, I whatever, we'll get to that. I love Tom Branston in this, and I know you might disagree. Like, I think you feel like
No, I
he's
like
not
him.
really
I
getting.
like him. I like him better in the next episode.
Yeah, but I think that what he says in this episode is a precursor to what's coming.
Yeah.
And so I like where he's building up to. I love Violet in this episode. I
I was
love
about to say I would like to add Violet, because Violet, like,
I
knowing
love.
herself and being like, I don't want to ruin all of my relationships again, so I'm just
I
gonna,
want to
or
give
like make it
myself a
worse.
puppy. I want
I'm gonna
to
get
give
my son a
myself
puppy.
a
I'm going to go to
puppy.
the south of France for a month to cool down.
And oh, by the way, I'm gonna go rip that little snotty girl up one side and down the other, and they're gonna know what they're dealing with. Because it when they deal with my friends, they deal with me. And
Yeah,
I love that. I think that's great.
I'll add
So
Violet.
what were your worst parts?
Crookshank, she's an awful little snipey little bitch, and she needs to go away.
Well, much like
Danka,
Larry Gray.
Danka, I forget why,
Oh
but
my
Danka, I think
God.
it's just because she exists. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes. No, I
Mary
know
Ruth.
why. I know why, because she's giving it to Sprat. She's like being ugly to
Yeah,
Sprat,
she's
and it's
because
just
she always
dumb.
is. Everyone
Ugh.
needs to just live their lives. Mary refusing Henry. It's just, I love the scene. The scene is really, really, really good, but it breaks my heart
Oh, yeah.
because is she I totally understand where she's coming from, at least in that scene. I understand where she's coming from. Later on it gets a little bit ugly, but like she it makes sense, her motivations. It was the same day, which is ridiculous, that she literally told him, let's not talk about it right now. But obviously he couldn't sleep, so it's like you kind of are forcing her hand and like telling you how she's feeling in that moment, and that's not going to be anything good. But it breaks my heart that that had to happen. Or, well, it didn't have to, but like it did
Did happen.
happen, and so it's just sad. And I just wrote poor Thomas, like he's just getting beaten from one side and then the other, and I'm just like, all right, you can't teach Andy anymore. You can't develop a friendship with Andy anymore. Sorry, you're being isolated from everyone, and
Yeah,
it's
it's
like
really
great.
very, very sad. Like the one good thing you were doing that everyone could appreciate, this good thing that you were doing, and
Well, except for Carson, apparently.
well, but like the kind of thing that people would understand is a good thing, that at least would be acceptable, and you can't have that. So you wrote down
Carson
more than
had
I did.
positive.
Yeah, that you wrote down more than I did. What I wrote down was Mary, because I feel like she is like the worst part in all of this. I have a tail, sorry.
Hi, Yang.
Yeah, I also have some ASMR that is not ice cubes. This is the big kitty. He has decided to assist us. It's been a while, so I think he just kind of missed being on the podcast. So here
Yeah,
he
I was
is.
listening to our Harry Potter episodes, and I think in Chamber of Secrets you get to hear him mowing in the background for a minute.
Yeah,
It's really
yeah.
funny.
Yeah, it's kind of like our own little Crookshanks, but whatever.
But he
So how
doesn't disappear after book three. Yeah, no, he doesn't.
No.
I
So, what was your grade for this episode?
it an A minus. I think every I don't think it's an A. I originally thought I would give it an A, but all the other bullshit other than Brooklyn's kind of pushes it down a bit. But I think just if it was just Brooklyn's, that would be so good. But I think just generally it's a really good episode. The acting's great. I think a lot of the writing's good, not all of it, but a lot of it is. And so it's good. I like it. What about you?
I gave it an A minus also. And yeah, I know you were thinking, oh my God, you're gonna hate the rest of the season. Not true.
I
And
didn't
that's
say that.
part
I said I like the rest of the season and I'm concerned by your trajectory for this season that I'm going to like it more than you do.
No, and I think I just have such high expectations of Downton Abbey episodes, and part of it is because of an episode like this, where it is totally solid as a Downton Abbey episode. It is not the best episode, which is still the Christmas episode from season two,
Oh,
but
it's always going to be that. We already know.
no, but
And if you're
it's a
saying anything else, you're fooling yourself. And maybe
Right,
you
it's
have
a
no
really good
heart.
episode.
You
I cried. I mean, come on.
can
It
usually
is,
tell by if you cry or
yeah. Or if you laugh hysterically, or if you're like, oh, things like that. So yeah.
if
So
you
yeah,
really
I thought,
feel something.
yeah, because it's a drama, you should feel something. That's the whole point. So
Yeah.
yeah. How about season six, episode eight? What are our sections?
It's gonna be a wild ride. Edith, Mary, well, Edith and Mary kind of, but then they kind of get separated as well. We'll talk about that. Mrs. Patmore, Molesley, Isabel, Thomas, Cassandra Jones. I don't know why I did it like that, but it's fine. And Violet.
Because
Also
you meet the real Cassandra Jones.
Really quickly, trigger warning for suicide. If you are
Yeah.
sensitive to that topic, skip ahead. We'll just do that section first.
You want to do it first?
Yeah, we might as well get out of the way just so that we can not keep everyone in suspense. So basically, Thomas is feeling really, 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 really low because of all the shit that's been going on in his life. He's not getting a job. He's been isolated by everybody. He isolated himself to a certain extent, but even though he's trying to be better, no one's really giving him a chance to. And so he's feeling so low that he decides that life isn't worth living, at least for him. And so he
It's
slits
so
his
sad.
wrist.
It really is. Yeah.
But Baxter kind of noticed the warning signs and was able to run in and help administer
Get
like some
Andy to break
bandages,
down
get Andy to
the
help break down the door and all that stuff. So Mrs. Hughes, Andy, Anna, and Baxter all kind of rally together to like help him and make sure
And
he
get the
doesn't die.
doctor
And he
first in there.
doesn't.
Right.
So he's able to like they're able to bandage up his wounds and make sure that he doesn't bleed to death and all that stuff. So he's fine. Well, not
Right, and
mentally, but he's
it has some repercussions with both Robert and with Mary, but I think we'll deal with that in
well,
other
really
sections.
quickly. I mean, they decide to just let him have a more of a breathing space, and so that he doesn't feel too much pressure, like the pressure he felt when he decided to do that. And Mary also brings her son George to see him because George loves hanging out with Thomas, and so
Still not the best child actor on the show.
absolutely not. That's always going to be Sibby. But
Yeah.
he goes up and he gives him an orange and all that stuff. It's really cute. And she
Yeah.
kind of commiserates with how he felt like he ruined his life. And she, after the events of this episode, feels like she's ruined her life. And so she's
Right.
like, interesting. All right, I'm not going to do what you're going to do, but I'm going to figure something out.
Right,
And so.
because she is choosing life, whereas it was chosen for Thomas. So
Well,
yeah.
he chose to do that, but like he chose
Right.
a different path than she eventually chooses, but it helps her get that idea.
Process. Yes.
So Molesley, really quickly, Molesley, he's teaching at the school. He's not really feeling like he's doing great, but then he does because he reveals he's a servant to the class, and Daisy comes and sees it, and then she hypes him up. And Daisy also passed her exams. That's basically it.
Yeah.
Really streamlining it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
Violet, well, we'll
I
talk about
haven't.
Violet later, I
Yeah.
guess. She
Yeah.
just comes in at the end. She talks to Mary to like get her to sort her life out, and she
Right.
helps. Yay. But she's
Right.
back from the
Yeah.
south of
And
France.
again, there are great lines in there, but if we aren't, don't circle back to it, just so you know, Violet is
We'll
back on
probably
form.
back. So Cassandra Jones, Edith is up in London. like towards the end of this episode, and they've gotten Cassandra Jones to come to the office because Miss Edmonds was curious about who she is, and they decide, okay, well, if we think that she's telling the truth, we'll say bananas. And so Cassandra Jones comes in, Edith comes in, and it's Brett. And so they both say bananas, and she's just kind of like, all right, I guess. So Sprat is Cassandra Jones, and I like this. I like this term for Sprat, and I don't know why they left it to the last minute, but
Right.
fine.
Right.
And
I
again, I
love
think
it. I mean,
this would have
it's
been more
adorable.
impactful if he was more of a like a background character and less of like, oh, we have to see him in the servants' hall with Danka or whatever. I kind of wish he was a little more underdeveloped so that this would be even more of a surprise. But either way, so that's Cassandra Jones, Mrs. Patmore. Really quickly, the couple who stayed at her Airbnb were people having an affair,
Yeah.
and so her house has been branded a house of ill repute,
Yeah,
and she freaked me
I love
out.
the way they talk about it. It's like it becomes this enormous scandal, and it's like the only thing Mary can laugh about because it's just like everything else has gone to shit. But you know, Anna tells Mary, because there's this whole discussion between Mrs. Patmore, who's horrified, and Mrs. Hughes, like, oh, no one will ever know upstairs. And of course, Anna and Mary giggle about it. And then everyone starts talking about it, including Rosamond, who's coming to visit, just all of this stuff. And so poor Mrs. Patmore is like, oh my God, I have a house of ill repute.
Yeah, it's so funny. And so the family, basically Rosamond, Robert, and Cora decide, all right, we're going to help her like rebrand herself and build up her reputation again. So we're going to go have tea at the Airbnb, get our picture taken, and that will help her. And it works out well. All right, now for the actual stuff we want to talk about. It kind of starts with Edith because at the beginning of this episode, we find out that the Marquess of Hexham has died in Tangiers. And I
Yes.
really want to quickly mention that I picked up on a little subtlety that I haven't before.
What, that he's dead?
Yes.
Oh my, duh.
I didn't think about that until now. And so basically what I was. I love that you immediately knew what I was talking about. Like I noticed it, especially when Bertie comes in, and apparently he's the new Marquess because it was his cousin Peter and all that stuff. And whenever he talked about Peter in this episode, he's just like, nobody really understood Peter, but I got him. And he was kind of a delicate person. He was always off to Tangiers. I'm like, he was living his gay romance dreams in Tangiers. And so he
Yes.
never really came back to like marry his like cousin or what person
Fiance, right?
he was going to
Not
marry or whatever. And
right.
so I was just,
Well,
I didn't think about it until now. And
but
then
they would
especially the
ask him,
next
so what would he do in Tangiers? Oh, he'd like look at boys and paint them.
oh my
I
God, yeah, he would
mean,
go to the
come
docks and paint boys. Like I don't know why it took me this long. It had been a while since I had like watched this episode and thought about it. So I was just like, I didn't think about it. Okay. I never paid attention to cousin Peter because it was an extraneous detail. I just knew he was dead and that was good for Bertie.
Bertie's mother even says it's
Okay.
not
No,
even
that's
thinks
next
about it.
episode. That's next episode. And
Whatever.
yes, I understood it, especially now. And so, basically, so that's that. And, so Bertie is now going to be the Marquess of Hexham. But he's still kind of broken up because it was his cousin, so and he was close to his cousin, and so that was it's he's still kind of delicate, and
Sorry.
no, you know what I mean, and it's sad because we all know that Edith is still deciding on whether or not she's going to tell Bertie about Marigold, and so when they both leave the room, I think Rosamond says, and that's the person you want to trick into marriage? Are you serious? Like he's such a
Yeah.
sweet person and he
Yeah.
doesn't deserve to be manipulated. Nobody deserves to be manipulated, but like,
Right.
especially
Right.
him.
Right. And this is part of the whole discussion. Like, Rosamond is up there, and Rosamond is with Cora, and they're both like, she's got to tell him, she's got to tell him, she's got to tell him.
Really quickly, I just realized we completely skipped Isabel very quickly.
Wow.
So Isabel, she's debating on whether or not she wants to become part of Lord Merton's life again, and because this is still going on, and she goes to Miss Crookshank to figure stuff out about what's going on, and she has this great line of Miss Crookshank says, "You know men," and Isabel says, "I'm not sure I do. Tell me about them." And so Miss Crookshank, basically what she says is that she's not going to even consider entering Lord Merton's life again until she has the okay from Larry Gray himself, not through this vessel that is Miss Crookshank. She's not going to make anyone more miserable unless she hears it from Larry Gray. And
Right.
so, which is putting a
Smart.
lot
That's
of
smart.
like power in his
Yes.
hands. Like your happiness is being put into the hands of someone you hate. I don't know why you're willingly letting that happen. And
Well,
obviously you're
except
trying,
that
they're being
she's
led to
not
do this.
sure. She's not sure that Dickie would make her happy even at that point. She is not certain that she wants him, but she is certain that she doesn't want she what she doesn't want is to be fighting with Larry the rest of his life. Or that's what she feels like she doesn't want.
And that's fair, but it's just it, this is so such bullshit. Anyway, and it takes up a lot more time than I remembered.
Yes.
And so that's basically it for Isabel. There, she's waiting on that okay, and we'll see what happens next episode. All right, now back to Edith and Mary and all that bullshit. Well, not okay. It's exciting, but it's a lot. So Edith and Bertie are kind of going back and forth about what they want to do. He's talking to her about, hey, I know that we have now you have new responsibilities, and maybe you want to explore other opportunities with other women. I totally understand that. But Bertie's like, no, I want you, and I want you to help me like get through this process, and because I love you and I want to be with you. And there's no one else I want to be with. And it's so sweet. And Edith is still like, I don't know. We'll st I'm still thinking. And I'm like, Edith, just fucking tell him.
She has opportunity after opportunity and still doesn't do it. She, okay, are we gonna get to that part or not?
Well, I think context is needed because Mary
Okay.
gets more upset. So Mary is still, she thinks that she did what she thought was right. Like she's trying to like come off as, oh, I didn't want him to be a part of my life anymore, anymore. So I did the right thing by breaking up with Henry. And so but Henry shows up at like Tom's kind of invitation. Like Henry mentions that he misses Mary, and Tom's like, hey, maybe this will help you win her back. Like, just showing up. And Henry does come in, and he's trying to make his argument, and like again, everyone likes him. And Mary, you know, Mary loves him, but she's
Yeah.
feeling off caught off guard. She's feeling trapped, and Tom's kind of like pushing her to be like, well, okay, so why aren't you accepting him? And I thought we already had this conversation, but no. And so Tom is just like, so is it because you're a gold digger, or is it because
Yeah.
of his lack of wealth? And she's just like,
Yes.
I'm not going to be criticized by you right now. And so she's going upstairs. Henry goes after her, and he's like, I miscalculated by coming here. I'm sorry. And she's like, I don't like being maneuvered. I don't like being manipulated into this kind of situation because I feel like backed into a corner. And so he's like, well, but based off of everything, it does seem like you're just kind of doing this because I don't have enough money. It's not because of my
Right.
birth. It's not because of like me. You clearly love me, but you
Right.
don't seem, there's something holding you back, and I don't know what that is.
Right.
And
And
she,
she has it so associated in her head. She's like, oh, we just are wrong for each other kind of thing. She's very not she's very vague in her response. And it's clearly just pure emotion that she's responding with. Because she's angry that she's being confronted with this thing she was trying to avoid, and she's just ugly to him,
Well, she
and
says, well, you came into my house uninvited, and you just to call me a grubby little gold digger, you have a nerve. And she storms off, and he's like, Mary, Mary, no. And that, but I like Henry. And I like that he doesn't try to go after her in that moment because he knows that she is trying to like calm down a bit. But I think he knows her better than she knows herself in certain ways, which makes them an even better match. But in that moment, he knows that being here is not going to be beneficial to his cause. So he leaves before breakfast, and Mary comes in and she's like, wait, where's Henry? And they're like, well, he left after being berated by you. So that's why. And so obviously she's kind of upset by that, because it seems like she wanted to like smooth things over again and try to like figure out why she was acting like that, or at least that seems to be the intention, because she seems disappointed. And so what happens is that Bertie and Edith that night had already kind of like talked to each other, and she essentially says yes to his proposal. She had that opportunity to tell him about Marigold, but no, she doesn't still. And so it's because she's so awful and she needs to tell him the truth. And it's interesting that this is a similar situation to Matthew, like before. Like with Matthew in the first season, what Mary was conflicted about is, yes. Oh, should I tell him about the scandal? But yes. It's different, because at least you didn't have a child. So should we care for this child that you have no idea is mine? Okay. But it's different, but like it's a similar like crisis of conscience there. And so, and something kind of similar happens where it's like you realize that, oh, he's gotten his position back, or gotten a higher position than he would have otherwise, and all that stuff. It's very similar, but it's slightly different. Either way, Edith doesn't tell him. And so that morning at breakfast, when Mary's being like confronted by the fact that, oh, I fucked up. I do love him actually, but I said some wrong things and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get him back and all that stuff. So Bertie announces, and it's just Edith, Tom, and Mary and Bertie at the table. And so Bertie essentially announces, yeah, no, we are engaged. And like, there's happy news and all that stuff. And Tom's like, oh yeah, very happy. And you could tell that Mary's uneasy about it. And she, even though like Edith was trying to like prevent Bertie from talking about it in front of Mary, he does anyway. Mary's like, okay, well, you might as well say it. Fine. We're all curious about what's so exciting. And so Edith kind of starts sniping at Mary, and to a certain degree of like, well, you just can't stand that I'm happy and you're not. And I'm getting married and I'm happy and you're not. And I'm sorry. And she doesn't even say I'm sorry, but you know what I mean? It's something similar to that.
And Mary's so Mary feels like she has to lash out. She's pissed. Mary is so pissed by Edith's tone that she does the thing that is like touching the third rail. She's like,
well, everybody wanted to do it too, but like she was the only one who like got riled up enough to do it, and but at the wrong time and in the wrong situation. It should have been Edith, we all know that, but
I can't remember the exact quote, but she's like, so everyone's gonna be fine with Marigold being there.
No, she kind of, she says, no, I'm very happy for you. And it's amazing, Bertie. Not many people would accept Edith's past. And Bertie's like, what? And he looks at with this broken expression at Edith, because obviously there should have been Edith telling him that. And right. Edith's like, Marigold's my daughter. And he stands up, he leaves the breakfast table, and they're all
of fucking stupid to me. I gotta say, his overreaction, I think, I feel like,
okay, wait, Bertie's overreaction?
Yes. So here's the thing. I feel like him getting up, walking out, and like leaving immediately without really talking to anybody.
No, he does talk to Edith before he gets into the cab. He calls a taxi, but he does talk to Edith. Did you not watch that section?
I did. And I kind of, you know, he calls the taxi before he talks to her. And I think that's part of what bothers me. So
there was going to be time.
Whatever. So he does talk to her. And when he talks to her, and I agree with what he says, he's like, look, you didn't trust me. You should have told me from the beginning. You should have told me sometime. And the fact that you thought you couldn't trust me with this makes me feel like I can't trust you. And that is, I can't form my whole life on this. And I will say this, the acting in this whole scene is beautifully done. I mean, just the heartbreak for both of them, the fact that they both still want to kiss, you know, it's like they don't, but
but you can tell they do, and I think they do like a handshake or something. It's sad. Either way, And I disagree about your thing about the overreaction. I don't think it was overreacting. I think he just needed to get out of that room and away from prying eyes. And I mean, I totally understand
Yeah, I
because
can see that.
what if like right after dad, you like let's just say you proposed to dad and dad was like yes, and then he told you he didn't like, and then like Aunt Barbara shows up and is just like, hey, listen, I think you should know. He's pregnant. He like had a child before, and he didn't tell you about it. And he wants to keep that child in within your marriage and like keep raising that child with you as a child, as your child. And you he
Okay,
wasn't he didn't inform you that's his child. Like,
there are a couple things that are different about that to me.
okay, I'm just using it as an
No,
example of like,
I know,
wouldn't you feel
can
so betrayed?
I finish, please?
You're just gonna nitpick my example, which is
No.
obviously a bad example, but still.
No, but my point is that Bertie had to have some clue there's a reason Edith is so attached to this child. And because it has come up from the moment they met. From their very first time, like dancing at Brancaster, she's talked about Marigold. So it's not a surprise, number one, that she wants this child to be with her, but number two, that she's got a really unusual and unexplained attachment. And honestly, if he were not a guy, I'm not done. If he were not a guy, he would have asked. A
Well,
woman would have been like, what the fuck is up with you and this child? He
oh,
doesn't ask
yeah.
the question, which is really, really, really stupid. It
But he.
bothers me that Birdie is that clueless. I will say this, in the example that you gave, if I'd not known the child existed, there had been no preliminary anything, and your Aunt Barbara came up and said, oh, would you accept? I'm so excited you're gonna accept, this child that your daddy had with somebody else. I would have said, bye. That I would have done. It would have been
Exactly, Birdie.
right, but
But
I think it's
okay,
different.
here's the thing. To like kind of, we're having like a little debate here. So what I think is that he did ask, like he was like, wait, after the proposal, Edith's like, oh, can I also bring Marigold with me? And he's like, Marigold, your family's ward? Why? And she's like, I'm just attached to her. And he's like, sure, if it'll make you happy, I guess. And I mean, I think at that time he didn't expect Edith in her position to not be a woman of virtue and not like do that kind of thing. Because at least at the time, like it was taboo, and obviously, like it's not, it was a whole thing. But I think it's about, I agree, he should have asked again about, like, hey, why exactly do you want to do this? But again, she would have swerved him anyway. Because that's what she had been doing since like he proposed. She was swerving him on that issue. And so I don't know. I also think that in general, it's a very sad situation, but Edith absolutely should have told him.
Yeah.
And he also mentions like he's not very surprised by it exactly, but he's very disappointed that Edith didn't tell him. I think it word for word he says, I'm not surprised. I'm just disappointed you couldn't tell me, and you didn't feel like you could tell me, and it's a sign that, yeah, no, you don't trust me. I don't trust you for not trusting me, so why would this work? And so it's just disappointing that Edith didn't do anything. It's so annoying that Mary, all in all, what should have happened is that Edith should have told him, and before he Well, she should have told him before he even proposed. Once they started getting serious, she should have told him. But especially after he proposes and after you're seriously considering it, you should tell him.
Yeah.
And she also uses the excuse of, oh, I didn't know how your mother would react. We don't know how that's going to work out because your mother seems to be like pretty a stickler for the rules and all that stuff. But no, Edith, it doesn't matter. He's the one who needs to know. He would be the one acting as a father to this child. Like, that's absolutely ridiculous. He's the one
Yes.
who has to answer the questions about this child whenever it comes up. It's like, oh, wait, this is a little bit older than when you were married. What's up with this child? And they're just like, oh, it's her family's ward. Like, that's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean,
It's
and
weird.
again, it is. It's just weird.
And who's
But
to
in
say his
any
mother
case,
wouldn't question it? Like, it's just odd. And she
no.
does. Anyway, so basically that he like goes off back to wherever he's going. I think he's going to visit Tangiers for the funeral, something or other, for his cousin. And so, yeah, I bet his cousin died in the arms of his lover. And so it was very dramatic. We just need a spinoff of Peter in Tangiers. it's like Emily in Paris, but Peter in Tangiers.
Although, yeah, if you've ever seen Brideshead Revisited, there's an element of that to it, too.
Of what?
Brideshead Revisited. It actually is an old PBS Jude Law thing. You'd probably enjoy it.
Ooh, Jude Law.
Jude Law, anyway. Exactly.
So basically, Edith gets really, really upset because, I mean, yeah. And so Mary goes up to her room after Mary talks to Tom. Tom confronts Mary in the office and is just so fed up with her.
I want to back this up. So Tom, with the conversation they have on the stairs, and I love the way it is phrased, and I can go back and find my notes, but I'm not going to, because, you know, I feel like the way Tom phrases these things, he's very direct about, you are rejecting him because of money, and it is the same as accepting him because of money. It is just as shallow. And he's so disgusted by that because he thought she was a better person. He has said that in other terms, you know, even in the prior episode, there's an element of that, but he gets more and more direct as these conversations continue. And after this fuck shit with Mary, and he is, and between Mary and Edith, he's just like, you are just a bully. Mm-hmm. And you are like every other bully. You are a coward. And the thing you are afraid of is your love for this man, and you need to fucking stop it. Basically. That's more or less what from that. It's more nicely written than that, but that's reality.
It's intense. And so he's just like, how many lives are you going to wreck until you realize that you're ruining your life too? And so she goes to Edith and she's kind of like, well, how was I to know you hadn't told him? And Edith's like, don't even start with me. No, you knew what you were doing. And you don't try to like cover up like your use of venom. Like, this is not how it's going to be. You cannot lie to me. Who do you think you're talking to? Mom? No. You're talking to me, the person you have just wrecked my life. And you have been doing so, and we have been going back and forth about this shit for years. I understand how you work, and I understand why you did it. It was because I was happy and you were not. And yeah. I love that she
uses it twice.
Yeah, good, she uses it twice. And Mary's like, listen here, and she's like, you're a bitch. And I remember like being like on the floor after that happened. I was like, oh my god, it's happened.
It's so exciting. Happened.
Yeah. And so she goes up to London, but before that she's like, well, by the way, Henry is perfect for you, but you're too stuck up to see it. But at least he's gotten out of your web of whatever, like web of lies. I've been saying web of whatever. I don't know why. Web of lies escaped your net or something like that,
right,
which is something to give thanks for, I suppose. And so she leaves, and Mary's just like, oh shit.
Well, right. And I mean, Mary's like realizing Edith has the moral high ground here. Just and the fact is she's right, and Mary doesn't know how to deal with it. She doesn't. And
I think it was clever the way they set up the not just the argument, but the scene at breakfast. Is that she finds out that Henry's gone, and so she's lost her chance. She thinks she's lost her chance at redeeming herself in his. Whatever.
You're right. She's lost her chance at redeeming herself in his eyes, but she's also got that thing that she did to Matthew. Like, she put her toy down and felt like, oh, I can come back to him later. And Henry's not that guy. He's not.
And that's why he challenges her. And that's why Matthew challenged her. You can't put him down and just like go back later. Wow, a lot of season one in here. It's great.
Yep.
And so it's probably why I like this episode. Spoiler.
Major.
So it's just, oh wow, that really is so similar.
It's
similar in the like Matthew season one stuff. It's similar in the whole like, oh, and I do love that episode. Anyway, so basically, she can't redeem herself in Henry's eyes. At least that morning, and she would have to really apply herself to actually like make the she would have to make the effort to bring him back and talk to him, and she would have to know what she wanted to say. And so she can't do it off the cuff anymore. She has to actually evaluate her feelings and not just apologize and then move on and kind of still be a will they won't they. Henry's not that kind of guy. He's gonna go when you think you want him to go for the most
Right,
part.
but if you ask him back, you have to have more than, oh, let's have dinner, in mind.
Exactly. You especially after all of that's happened, and it's just you have to have a reason to ask him back, and she has to evaluate her feelings before she asks him back. And
Correct.
once you ask him back, he's going to assume certain things. And if you ask him back just to be like, yeah, no, I don't want to be with you anymore, that could be a phone call. You've already phone called him to death. This has to be something serious, and you have to actually take that step in your life to bring him back in
Commit.
and to commit. And she's concerned about that, and so she's freaking out about that. Edith starts like talking about, oh, well, I'm happy and you're just upset because you're not happy, which is valid, but I don't think she should have brought it up at that moment, especially in front of Bertie. But so Mary like sniping back at her just happened to be in the worst possible way by revealing the secret and all that stuff. And to be fair, Mary is right. She should have told him before she accepted the proposal, and everyone knows it. So
Yes.
it's just
Yeah,
obviously we know that she knows that she didn't tell him.
but again, she could have done it in a thousand different ways, and it didn't have to be the way that she did it. So, whatever. So,
Right.
this episode still has a lot more to go.
Yeah, no, I'm aware. So
So.
basically, Edith goes up to London. That's when the whole Cassandra Jones things happen. She's very, very broken. She's very upset, obviously. She's just like lost the love of her life and all that stuff because of her own stupidity and lack of honesty. And so this is when
Although
Violet comes in.
I love, like, Edith is driving to the station and she runs into Branson, and there's a lovely conversation between Edith and Tom Branson where she's like, we finally had the row everyone saw was coming.
I was
And
just looking at the audience and be like, we already knew that you needed this. We needed like
yes.
some kind of blow up. So
Yep,
here it
and here
is.
we are. Here we are. And I think it's really, really great. That she admits that to Tom. She is going to London. She's kind of like, my life is just ruined and blah blah blah. So
So
we've got,
Violet comes in and she talks to Mary, and Mary's like, why did you do it? Oh, sorry, Violet says, why did you do it? And she's like, I don't know, because she was happy and I don't. And Violet's like, and you weren't. And why is that? Because you're not giving Henry a chance. And Mary, of course, brings up the points that she always brings up, but especially to Violet. It's like, well, he doesn't have any money. You know that he's not very high up and high born and all that stuff. And Violet's like, you know, that's not re what really matters. And Mary's like, okay, fine, it's not any of that. But did you know how, did you know, like, what, you don't know how it felt standing there, like, in front of a fiery, crashed car, thinking that it was him? This, I can't do it again. And again, I think it's interesting because I think it's just a shame that Mary decided to put her guard up by being like acting snobbish when the whole reason why it was never about the money. Obviously, it was a little bit of like, oh, well, I don't want to feel like I outrank my husband and my husband feels like belittled by that. But obviously, that's not an issue with Henry. But, and he's told her that. And so it's just interesting because the way that she put her guard up was, oh, well, I'm going to use that as my excuse so that I don't have to tell you the real excuse and ruin your passion for whatever. But then it goes too far and all that stuff. So she just, it's like, and so go
I think
ahead.
part of what I love with this is that Violet, I think Mary really expected Violet to be, like, oh, title and all that stuff matters. And part of what we're getting from this is that Violet going away and coming back, has had her change of perspective. But she also says to Mary, she's like, you're the only person I know who wants to be perceived as grand and foreboding. She's like, the rest of us are and try to hide it. What's up with that? And coming from the Dowager Countess, who is grand and foreboding for sure, It is a very interesting change of role that she's recognizing, because I'm again, it's a call back to the beginning, like when she's introduced to Isabella, she's like, oh, how about you call me Lady Grantham? You know, it's like,
Yeah.
it's just it is just lovely to see her humanized as well, and for her to basically point out that Mary's got feet of clay like the rest of us, kind of thing. And she's like, look, you need to be honest with yourself. You love him and he loves you. And that's the most important thing. It's going to matter for much longer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and Mary takes that to heart. Mary then admits it to Anna. Like, she's like, ah, you know, how is it possible? And Anna's kind of like, and she's like, but you know, Anna, that we wouldn't work out. And Anna's like, I was wrong. He is
Yeah,
just
sorry, I was
one.
wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really good. I'm great at giving advice, those kinds of things. But this go around, I was wrong. And she, Anna, previously, and I should note this, Anna and Bace have been having this discussion about, oh, what does Mary think of Mr. Talbot and whatever. And it's cute because when Anna admits, like, because it was prior to this conversation, Anna admits to me, she's like, I think I was wrong. I think he really is tough enough to take it. And, you know, like, she isn't going to be able to bully him. And I think that scares her. And I think that that's a lot of what's true in this relationship for Mary.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. So Mary decides to send basically what Violet ends up saying is you need to make peace with your sister, and then you need to make peace with yourself, and then you'll be able to like do all that, bridge all these gaps that you've just dug for yourself. And so she sends a telegram to Henry and to meet up, and she's like, he'll be back by tea time. And Tom's like, okay, that's a good step. And he's just like, but what about Edith? And she's like, that's kind of harder to fix, so give me a little while on that one.
Yeah.
Give me some time. And so she goes. Henry comes in and he's just like, well, you rung. Like, what am I supposed to do now? Like, why am I here? And she's just like, listen, you're right. We are in love with each other. I don't know why I thought it before, but I'm not fighting it anymore. Do you want tea? And he's just like, are you this calm normally? Like, because please tell me you are. And she's just like, why? And then he's just like, well, you don't know what you're doing to me. Like, I'm hot and cold. I don't know where I am. Like, I don't know why I'm here.
My
And it's
heart
all
is
because of
beating so
you.
hard that I think you can hear it all the way across the room.
Yeah,
You know,
and
it's so sweet. It's so
yeah,
adorable.
and she says something like, we're not 20. I'm not going to tremble at the touch of your hand. And he's like, I'm not 20 either, but I still tremble at the touch of your hand. And she's
And
like,
she's
me
like,
too. I
I
don't know
do
why I
too.
said that.
Yes.
It's so cute.
So
And
cute.
Henry also apparently already got a special wedding license, and so he also has a friend who is like a uncle who's a bishop, and so he's just like, we're ready. We're ready to get married. And he's so happy, and they're both very, very happy. And she's like, good old England, some things never change. And so they are going to get married. It's the day of the wedding. Tom is once again the best man, and
It's
who's to
so
wonder at?
cute. It's
Yeah, and
so
it would have been
cute.
Charlie Rogers, but obviously he's not here.
Well, right, but Tom's like, what you can do for me is like keep her
Take care of
happy,
her.
take care of her, and that's super sweet and it's lovely. And so, but Edith shows up the day of the wedding, and I feel like this reconciliation. And of course, it is hitting home for me, you know, at this stage of my life. But because again, family comes around and comes around and comes around, and there will be stages and stages and stages. But when Edith shows up, she's like, yeah, I'd like, Edith and Mary are like, can we just talk alone for a minute? And Mary's like, I was awful to you. I'm so sorry. You're right. Well, she never actually says the words, you're right, does she?
No.
But she's like, I shouldn't have done it. And, why'd you come back, basically? And Edith's like, I came back because in the end we're sisters. And there's going to come a time when no one else remembers Sybil and no one else remembers Mama and Papa, and we're going to be the only people left.
Yeah,
And
she's
a lot of truth
what
in
she
that.
says is our shared memories will mean more than our mutual dislike.
Yeah. And she's
And
right.
it, yeah, and she's right. And so, and then she's like, you look really pretty too. And
I know. It's like, or
yeah,
you look nice.
you look nice. Anyway, so then Mary and Henry get married, and it's really sweet. And then, but also Robert and Cora are like, but what about Edith? And there was a moment earlier in this episode about like how when Bertie became a Marquis, and they're just, and Rob's like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for Edith, who wouldn't even get her dolls to do what she wanted. And I'm just like,
I
I love that line too.
love that line.
And so it's just it's so, and then we like end on this like shot of Edith watching the kids just running around. Oh my God, I just realized
That's
we
Sybil's
missed it.
grave. That's Sybil's grave. Yeah.
Not Sybil's grave, it's Matthew's
Yes,
grave.
It's Sybil's grave.
No, it's not. Oh
It
no,
says
I'm not
Branson.
talking about the kids. I'm not talking about the kids, but Mary at Matthew's grave.
Oh, right. The scene before. So before Mary and Henry get engaged, Mary goes to visit Matthew at Matthew's grave, and she has a talk with him. And I think Violet, not Violet, Isabel overhears part of it.
Well, she's kind of far away, but yeah.
But you see her in the back, like in the far background, she walks
Yeah.
up because the time of day that she normally comes to visit the grave. And Mary basically tells him, I loved you so much. Either you can hear everything I'm saying and you know everything that's going on, or
Or you can't hear me.
you can't hear me, but I want you to be happy for me. I loved you so much. I'm gonna love you till the day I die. But
I also love him.
I also love him, and I think he'll make me happy, basically. I'm getting teary thinking about
And she
it.
also says, no
Because
matter how much I
the
love, well, no, she says, no matter how much I love him, know that I will always love you. And she also says, well, I hope you will be happy for me as I would have been happy for you, which is kind of a throwback to when the Lavinia situation
let
where
them be happy.
yeah, let them be happy. And also not just that, but just her reactions to Lavinia being a part of Matthew's life, and up until like when the episode she dies, them being pretty good about like, all right, yeah, no, I'm taking care of him, but I'm not, and I'm still emotionally invested in him, and I still love him and all that stuff. But she's not wedging herself intentionally in their way.
Yes.
And it's kind of a throwback to that situation, but it's reversed and one of them's
Right.
dead. But either
Right.
way.
But Isabel comes up after that, and she's like, I hope you don't think that you need to ask my permission. Just know that I'm really happy for you, basically. And it's just lovely. But the music is that Matthew and Mary music, and
It's
you
the Matthew and
forget how
Mary
much you missed it. It's just,
the
yeah, exactly. Oh,
Oh.
so beautiful. So
Anyway, before we
beautiful.
start crying,
Oh.
I can't believe I
So,
forgot
what were
that scene.
your best parts? I can't believe it either.
But yeah, no, I
I
didn't
did
think about
too.
the fact that it's Sybil's grave. Yeah, it is Sybil's
Yeah.
grave that the kids are running around.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Edith's watching, and she's always watching. And so
But
it's
she's happy. She's not
no.
unhappy watching.
She's
Because Mariel's still important to her.
oh yeah, no, it's a shame that Birdie's not in her life right now, so it's
Yeah.
whatever. All right, best part, worst part. Best parts, I have a lot. Henry in general, I love Henry. I think that him, he reads the signs pretty well. Obviously he can't like n read her mind, so he's just like, all right, well, I'm going to get remove myself from this situation. Obviously I miscalculated, I'm sorry about that. But he also is able to confront her about her feelings and all that stuff. And yeah, and him coming back and the whole like them getting engaged is so freaking cute. Oh my God. Like that entire conversation is great. Mary coming to her senses is great. Edith confronting Mary. Oh, that's a great scene.
Yeah.
Tom in all caps. Thank God for Tom being like, yeah, no, you're a bully and you're a coward. You need to fess up to all of this and you need to fix this. Molesley, good for Molesley. He's doing well for himself. The family helping Mrs. Patmore, Baxter helping out Thomas, Violet helping out Mary, and Mary at the grave. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, I probably did it in bigger strokes than you.
That's fine.
But Mary coming around, I mean, realizing that, I always appreciate people being self-aware. And I feel like that is huge in this episode for many, many characters. And Mary, of course, being the biggest one, the most obvious one. Edith coming around to, I'm not going to hate my sister for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Violet, I think, is great in this episode. I love so much that she goes to Mary, is like, stop doing your stupid shit. I like Isabel in this episode. I love Tom Branson in this episode. I love Robert in this episode. Cora, Carson coming around because he and Hughes finally get their stuff, together. I feel like there is so much reconciliation of storylines here too. But I love Henry in this. There's just I love a lot of it. What were your worst parts?
Mary telling the secret, obviously, that's a big one. Edith not telling him about Marigold in the first place, that's a huge one. Thomas, it's just so sad
Yeah.
about Thomas. Mary refusing Henry constantly, Jesus. Isabel relying on Larry to determine her happiness, also stupid.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you, but
I'm
still,
just
yeah.
confused about why they're doing it like this. I don't
I
know, it's
to
weird.
make drama. This plot line is annoying.
Anyway, yeah, what about you?
Mary being a bitch, which includes obviously Edith and Henry, the early parts. Edith not telling Bertie again, I think that's reprehensible. I thought it was reprehensible from the get-go. So yeah, I
Well,
hate.
he also, like, really quickly, I'm confused because he said, "Would you have married me in a lie?" And she said, "No." And I'm like, "But you would have,
Would have
though." At
because
some
Sarah
point
did.
in like the engagement period, however long that may be, maybe like 3 months-ish, like you would have been like, yeah, maybe I'll tell you on a random day and then nothing bad will happen. Like what was the
It's horseshit.
plan? I'm
It's
confused.
horseshit.
Go ahead.
I hate Thomas being in that emotional state. Especially, you have seen so much growth with him, and to see him feel like it's hopeless. It's just awful. But I do, again, appreciate the self-awareness and when after he's saved, and I think that is important. I will also put parts of Carson's behavior toward Thomas in this episode, and some other parts of it I just didn't really love. I think he's ugly to Mrs. Patmore in this, and it's like, come on, stop it. So yeah, there were some things about Carson I didn't like, but there are things about it that I liked that he came around and was supportive of Thomas and of Mrs. Patmore in the end. So yeah, what was your grade for this episode?
It's an A. Like,
Yeah.
it's a very exciting episode. It's
Yeah.
It takes me back to, again, like some of those earlier season ones, the season episodes in general. And it has the excitement there. It has a lot of resolution of storylines, and it has a lot of stuff that we've been waiting for to like blow up. And they all do, one
Yep.
after another. That TNT just keeps going. So yeah, that's episode 8. So we're down to the final episode.
The final episode of Downton Abbey, the series. And in case you're wondering, we are not going to roll into the movies. We may come back to those later. But so this will be the final episode of our Downton Abbey series about Downton Abbey.
Yeah, we might
And
do a
we.
special episode if we ever get bored during Game of Thrones or like need a little bit of a change or
Yeah.
something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it could happen. But in any case, we hope that you join us for that last episode. We are looking forward to sharing it with you. And
Cheers.
cheers.